Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you like the great outdoors? Are you or are you looking to be a master bow hunter, king of the hill in archery? You're in the right place. Welcome to Bow Hunter Planet. It's the Bow Hunter Planet podcast with your host, Team BHP.
Welcome to the Bowhunter Planet podcast. We have a big crew tonight with Dave Thomas, Tim Mazarana, Chris McGee, Kevin Conlon, and myself, Jamie Nopum. And we're going to go over a little recap of what happened tonight. We kind of have a big night, guys. So Jim Shockey, Eva Shockey, and Tyler Jordan from Realtree. And that is quite a lineup.
Amazing lineup.
Let's discuss.
You know, just unbelievable how great these people were, and down to earth, and really nice people. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think, I mean, the way that they carry themselves, I mean, their attitude in the industry is just, it's all positive, which I think just helps, you know, overall. I mean, the way that they handle their critics and the way that they promote themselves is just, it's a great thing to see that there's that kind of positive energy going on in the industry, so.
No, and you just assume when you see, you know, celebrity, that you just assume.
Yeah, they don't care. Yeah. They're just, yeah.
That's always, regular people.
That's always been the nice thing about hunting, though.
The hunting industry is, most of them that we've talked to, just regular.
Yeah.
They're all family
people. It's all family, and it's, you know, even the companies, everything involves all pretty much, you know. And that's why I think it works good for us, and it connects with us very well, because we, you know, we're kind of a family-oriented type of company, and we really pride ourselves on working with the amateur people of the world, the real hunters who are out there doing it. And I think that really helps us. You know, it just shows that, like, people like Tyler and Realtree and Eva, they get it. You know, they get it. They're people. They're people first. and their job, what they do in the industry, is second, right? I mean, it's how it works.
Well, yeah, I think that you think you hit it right on the head. Everybody has that outdoor mentality first, right? It's not like other industries, like the Hollywood industry, where it's all about making the money first, you know, and how do I make my name big enough? You know, how do I do this? How do I make as much money as I can? I think people in this industry, it's all about the outdoors, conservation, getting outside, promoting it with their kids, their family, and everything. And I think that just shows. It really does.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, and how many people get to do a job that they love to do, and that's their job. You know, so many people like, dread going to work and you know, something like that.
Technically, this is your job, too.
Yeah.
You don't do anything else besides this, technically.
Well, I tell you what.
This is my second job.
I tell you what, I'm lucky enough to have two careers in my life that I love going to work every day, and a lot of people don't have that. So
that's true. Definitely not Nopum.
Oh, I love my job. You guys all going to get in there one day, maybe. You know?
That's when you'll really like it, when you have friends that work there. Or you'll hate us even more, so anyway. You know, I like to turn this podcast into not only just a recap, but I have some actually other topics I want to talk about in regards to a lot of different things. But the first one is this really important thing called Force, baby.
Oh, my God. Cancel this podcast.
Wow.
Done with the forest bathing.
So we talked about this forest bathing, and I'm telling you right now, we have just started, ignited this forest bathing inside the hunting industry. How ridiculous is it that people are just now realizing that you can relax in the outdoors and breathe? I just think that's the weirdest thing. Like, all these years we've been hunting, doing it every single time. People now all of a sudden say, oh, wait a minute. I go outside and I'm supposed to stop and take it in? And I need someone to tell me that, and I'm going to pay someone to do that? Hey, listen, if you want to pay me to take you hunting, and you don't hunt, you just want to sit there and forest bathe at the bottom of my tree while I'm hunting, that's fine. You can do that. I will charge you $1,000 an hour. How's that sound? Let's do it. Forest bathing. Boom.
Just so, make them go out with so Ron.
Those of you... those of you that don't, forest bathing, according to Wikipedia, is the practice of taking a short, leisurely visit to the forest for health benefits. Originally started in Japan. You go out in the forest, you have no cell phone signal, you go out there and you see God's country, you see God's animal, you see everything that he created. Yeah, it's a little relaxing, don't you think?
Yeah. Hunters don't like to spend short periods of time. In the woods, but spending all day, weekend.
Well, this is my point, though. The point is, they think hunters just go kill things. That's all we do.
No.
Like, wait a minute, time out. I was going to say, we're outdoor photographers. All of us here have taken outdoor photography. We love, enjoy, and capture that. That's nothing to do with hunting. We're just out there taking pictures of outdoors.
And how many hours upon hours do you spend in a stand before you even get to hunt something or see something? Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean you shoot it.
No.
Right. I've passed on
absolutely.
So many
days. Lots of time to reflect and, get your thoughts together.
Pine trees, heal your lungs or something. There's something within that.
Yeah, I heard that, too.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And I'll tell you
where
this.
Where have you been?
When we were, we did camping last weekend. I know, Tim, you've been camping for a while now, coming up. I haven't seen Tim
there
in a while.
Girls over here.
Kind of the whole year.
So in camping, we were Nopal and I were camping at the same campground this past weekend, and we went down this trail, and we came across this wood
bridge.
And it was cool, it was really nice and naturist and all that. And I passed over the bridge, and all of a sudden you come into the cedar forest, and I'm telling you right now, I smelled the cedar forest before I even entered it. As soon as I was walking up, I smelled this sensational scent. That I was like, wow, this is amazing. It just smells so good in here. And then we I'm looking around, I'm like, dude, this is a cedar forest. And all of a sudden, it was all pine needles on the ground and just these little small cedar trees all throughout. It was amazing.
Jamie, did he pay you as his forest bathing guide for that?
Yes. Yeah, he did. Well, they charged $2.50 an hour.
He charged beer. I had to pay him in beer. He had all of my good beer. And, the other topic I want to talk about, though, is this delisting of the Yellowstone grizzly bears.
Let's go.
So Yellowstone grizzly bears, to lose protections after 42 years on the endangered species list. They're stating, I was listening to, actually it was, I think it was NPR, but there's a lot of detail here in this article we're looking at here. But the thing is, on NPR, the guy said that there is about 700... Now, here we're looking at big numbers, but 700 in Yellowstone.
Right.
So in Yellowstone.
That's a huge area.
Correct. And he said they're very hard to count because it's not as simple to find them for the counting. But he thinks that's the guy that was talking, I forgot his name.
He's walking around with some honey or something.
No, he thinks that's...
Or the guy with a limp.
Well, he thinks the estimate's really low, so they're okay with it. They think 700 is really 1,000 or 1,200, so they're okay with that estimate. But the thing is that, there was people who called into this show, and the one guy was, just different people talking about they shouldn't delist it. Obviously, you're going to have the anti-hunters. Another guy's like, oh, I'm good with hunting as long as they hunt it with a bow and on the ground and or a knife and da-da-da. I'm like, are you kidding me?
No. Yeah,
what are you talking about, dude?
Man.
You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know anything
about hunting.
My neighbor's
been hunting brown bears, not, as big as grizzlies. And, they think damn things don't die. I wouldn't shoot one with a bow.
You wouldn't pull a Tim Wells?
I don't know.
I think the point I think people are missing too is you know, if they open up a hunting season for it, which they will, right?
Yeah, that's what they're talking about.
What's it going to take to get a hunting license for that? I mean, here, even in Michigan, just for a black bear in the Lower Peninsula, it takes you 7-8 years. Yeah. So, I mean, how many are you actually harvesting to make an impact to the population to where it's not going to keep increasing?
Just because you get a tag, too, doesn't mean you're going to harvest one.
Absolutely. Yeah. So
you get
50
tags, you get 20 bears.
Right. And I think that's part of the conservation of all.
We'll go into the conservation.
You have to have some trust in the numbers, some trust in the research. And if you don't, I mean, to me, that's what every state bases. I mean, our Michigan DNR, that's what they do. That's what their jobs are, is to get the statistics, figure out the right way to manage deer. And sometimes they do it wrong, and I don't know, only time will tell in this circumstance. But it's not like, okay, they're off the endangered species list, and so all of a sudden, everybody can go shoot one. That's not the way it works. No.
I was actually in Yellowstone, not this spring, but the spring before, and saw a grizzly with three cubs with her. Mm-hmm. So that indicates that there's healthy food source, healthy things going on when you got them walking around with three cubs.
The Wyoming governor here, Matt Mead, stated, grizzly bears have met or exceeded recovery objectives since 2003 and have long warranted delisting. So, listen, if that was the rule put in place, there should be no change to that rule. If that was what they originally planned and they beat the plan, then yeah, delist them. You have to maintain populations of animals, okay? Now, the goal is how many tags will go out to hunt these animals, right? Will it be 50 a year, 100 a year? What will it be per state in that region? Montana, Wyoming, the Dakotas maybe. I don't know if they go that far east, but, you know, you see my point.
Well, no, and rightfully so. I think that I remember this kind of reminds me of the whole wolf hunt that they opened up in Michigan, right? I mean, to me, it's very similar to that in regards to all the kickback that you get about why are
you
opening up
though.
A season.
There's difference.
And all that.
So. The biggest difference between the wolf situation and the grizzly situation is that the wolf situation was added. The wolves died, came extinct, and they manually brought them back. Bears were in Wyoming, in Yellowstone, dying off because of hunting or whatever was happening, and they stopped it. So it's different because they're already there. Wolves were gone and then implemented back. Now, no boom. You have land in the UP, and Kevin, you hunt in the UP for a long time. How do you feel about wolves being in your area that were never there before?
I think people in the Lower Peninsula shouldn't get to vote on it. It should be the people up there that have to deal with the wolves. I mean, it's sure, like, we saw one and it was awesome, but if you have cattle or animals and you're watching two wolves eating a calf out of a cow while it's having it, what do you think the people are going to do? You're going to take business into their own hands.
Do you even think it should be up for a vote? Or do you think it should just be straight DNR decision?
Well, that's what it was, right?
They made them endangered again for bit there.
No, it was based on science, they'd be hunting them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because what happened was it was a political decision that people got together.
No, bringing them into Michigan, I'm talking
about.
Well,
now they're...
Oh, bring them in.
They were
all on the Presque Isle, I think, and they started moving down from there. And now they're getting into the Lower Peninsula. But once you get down towards Traverse City and they start eating people's dogs and all that, you watch how people's...
Oh, that's when they open up a full season on the coyotes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and now we got cougar too coming down.
And they're really, I mean, they're awesome animals, but there's no deer left.
Yeah, that's the thing. They say, oh, they didn't really impact the deer population. Well, I know that...
But same with the grizzlies. They don't know the real count. They have no idea what the real count is. You know, I talk to people that live up there. If you don't know anybody that at least lives up there, you can ask questions. You just, they're a beautiful animal. Yeah, and they're taking over a lot of stuff. And there's ask anybody who tries a deer hunt in the UP how that's working out.
Yeah, Kevin, tell us.
Well, I hardly see any deer anymore. That's the truth, you know. And now,
but that's part of
a combination of things. It's been bad winters. It's been wolves. It's been coyotes. But the one thing that you know they forget about. Is in the UP, the deer, the snow gets so bad, the winters get bad, that the deer migrate to a wintering area, where they then become just vulnerable to wolves and coyotes.
And then we finally have moose again up in the UP, and if those locals see wolves trying to eat those, you know, moose, then guess what? It's going to happen.
No more forest bathing.
Take a wild guess. Three S's.
But I think that's part, though, things change over time.
Yeah.
Populations change over time. More pressure on deer, you know, and there's less deer, there's less food for the animals. Those are going to die off a little bit. The deer population will come back. It's all ebbs and flows. Yes. But I think the key to all of it is proper conservation. Yeah, and I think where you get in the problem is when you bring a political component into it, and you're not looking at the numbers, and you're not looking at the conservation, the science of it, absolutely. Yeah. And there's a lot. I mean, that's what I went to school for. And I mean, there is a lot of science behind population.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I've seen wolves in the UP, and I love to see them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to see them to a point where they're destroying other things.
Sure. Tell us this. Tell us the story about when you're hunting and you saw the pack come through.
Well, well, let me just go back. The first time I saw a wolf in the UP, I saw a wolf by itself. It was I was out deer hunting, and the wolf worked its way down. All of a sudden, I spotted something moving. I thought maybe it's a cougar or something. I looked. It was a wolf. And he had gone to, you know, I'm like, what the heck is he doing? It's the middle of the day, and he's moving. Well, my friend had shot a deer, and we had gutted it the day before, and we just leave the gut pile. And you could hear the ravens and everything. All of a sudden, everything went quiet. I go, oh, I know where that wolf is going. So he went to the gut pile. Fast forward 2 years later, I'm hunting in the same area. I see a wolf. Like, oh, wow, there's a wolf, you know. Then I look, there's two more right behind it. Mm-hmm. So now I'm looking at three wolves, and then the next thing I know, I see two more. And then out of the corner of my eye, I catch movement. I'm not sure it was a wolf, but I know if I've seen five and there's movement, you know, it's probably...
There's nothing coming to the wolf pack.
They were hunting. They were moving, like one would move, then the other would move, and the other move. It was like a military patrol going through the woods.
They smelled a Kevin sandwich.
And they were within 40 yards of me.
Yeah.
And I radioed my buddy and said, "Hey, there's wolves coming your way." He's like, "What do I do?" I go, "Just sit there, you know." And they walked within 10 yards of him. It was like, you know,
they smelled it too easy.
And it was kind of, you know, creepy.
Does that change the way that you kind of get in and out of your tree stand?
I make a lot of noise. I make a lot of noise at night.
You park a four-wheeler right underneath the stand?
Yeah. There's a lot of noise coming out of my stand at night. You know?
I can imagine. Especially even after all the bear hunts. I mean, it's a different thing. When you're, it's not one, it's two, it's three, it's four, it's five, and you don't know how many.
Have you guys been to Quaminon Falls lately?
I've not.
I've been to the brewery up there. They have like four wolf skin rugs on their walls, like different colors. Those are awesome.
I'll tell you this. People say, like for a while in the UP, they stopped coyote hunting because they didn't want people
accidentally
shooting a wolf thinking it was a coyote because they were protected and everything.
Because there's not a big difference
there. If you can't tell the difference after seeing how big they are or what they look like, you 100
pounds more.
Probably shouldn't be hunting.
The one we saw was easy 150.
Wow, right,
that
was big.
It was all black. It was all by himself. Yeah. Like, what? Look at the size of that. It's not a dog.
And it ran into the thickest, nastiest stuff I've ever seen. And I remember thinking, we stopped right there and looked in where it ran in. You couldn't see in a foot inside that woods. And I thought, how many are out here?
How many are watching you?
That's what I'm saying. How many are out here? How can they possibly know how many wolves are running through those woods? I mean, it's
they
so
don't have
thick.
A clue.
It's like, and even in Michigan, and even in the area of Flint, all the way to the tip of the, before you go to the UP, right? No. How would you know how many are in there? Those woods are dense. There's a lot of woods in that.
We barely knew that there were cougars up there until
people have been seeing them for years.
But now you're getting trail camera photos and
finally some proof they want to call.
The elk in Michigan are huge too.
Yeah.
I drove by that one that got hit there past Wolverine exit. And I mean, it's a 300 plus inch elk. I saw the antlers sticking out of the grass. What the?
Somebody
smoke it with that little car.
I can't wait to get my elk points. I've been putting in for them every year. So when the year's right, how many do I need to hit it?
I'm not sure. But here's the story.
How many? I have like five.
I
ready.
Think they're only doing like 68 tags a year.
Yeah, I don't want to put in tons.
But somebody was telling me the story. I don't know if this is true or not. But here's what you do: if you get the tag, apparently you go to some kind of meeting.
Yep.
And there's farmers there,
yep.
right? And they all got pictures of these huge elk that are just tearing up their corn. So they, I guess they all sit there and go, hey, go, no, come to my land. This is what I got. This is what I got. And it's basically like shooting a cow or something. You're not really hunting it.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going. Why? A Michigan elk? Are you kidding me right now? A Michigan elk once
just
in a lifetime?
If you get the
you'll
license,
get one
if you
lifetime,
get the license, you're
you'll
good.
You'll never get it again.
You just pick the right farm.
I'll shoot
right
the doe
farm.
For all I care.
But they don't give out many bull tags, do they?
That's what I'm saying.
They're monsters. Yeah.
But meat, still.
I want the meat.
800 pounds, 400 inch pounds. Michigan elk.
Oh, so you're saying you put in for a bull only?
I don't
if
know.
If I do
how
it?
Goes. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd take, I take the meat, but I'd want the bull for sure.
How many
it's only
going to
happen.
I don't have any.
What?
Yeah, I haven't been putting
in. I don't think
in.
I've ever put in. I've
put in for any?
I think I put in twice.
Every year I put in for bear and elk right in a row. Boom, boom. I got 5 bear points already. So, Corey, I've been talking to Corey, like, what do we do here? What's the best situation?
Yeah.
Am I coming to you? Is there someone else I should go to? Is that the best?
Red Oak's top. And
well, I just didn't have anybody to ever bait for me, so I just never did.
How do you go to Red Oak? You got to hire a guide that owns land there or something?
Yeah. Like, you, so. If I mean, it, unless you that's can go top, out there every day and
ever
you
since,
have to bait him every day, you're not going to see him.
Yeah, true.
If you can't get where he's at.
It's not really.
I mean, you get a big bear anywhere in Michigan.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that Red Oak encompasses the whole like
the
top
whole,
of the of the
lower railing up, isn't it, or something?
Yeah.
Or?
So that doesn't mean because
Corey Upper was in that area.
That doesn't mean it's the best bear hunting because the amount of bears taken is when you look at the area taken.
Yeah, it's not a lot.
So I would say I think you probably got a better bet than the UP.
Plus, you have Corey working it, but I got to get the first week.
Well, I think you're,
ever
I think
since what happened to you,
right,
that's I'll never.
It's about the prep work on it. Yeah. If you have nobody to prep, you're not going to just go and see a beer.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
A beer. You have to have some.
I mean, obviously, we got Corey now, but before that, it was just like, you know, I was talking to people that live up there, and I mean, the guy spends a month and has, you know, buys truckloads of granola. He's got all this magic.
That's what Corey
like,
does.
I mean, even if you do, like, there's a guy we know from last year, Drew, in the upper lower peninsula, and he baited, and he prepped, and he did everything right, and he didn't get one. 8 years, and he drew a tag, and he didn't get one.
Upper?
And in the upper
Corey
lower
upper?
Peninsula.
No, Corey Upper?
No. It was
he
a
was
care,
up there.
Caretaker.
Gotcha.
But it was, I mean, it was disappointing, to say the least. And, you know,
rather just go to Canada.
That's why you go to Canada.
Take care of business. I ain't got time for all
I
that.
Still got to do it, though. I mean, if I get the tag, I'm
going to... Well, there's something about Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go to the UP. Right. I want to go up there anyway, so it's a good time to go up there, hang out with Corey, and get a couple hunts in.
It's a beautiful time of year to hunt up there.
Yeah, I think
colors are changing.
When I was there, the first time I ever hunted the UP for bear, I was with Kevin, and he had a tag, and I was just filming. And he had the bear coming in every single night, every single day. Even the day we were there, we could have hunted, but we couldn't legally hunt. Was a Friday, and we could not hunt, and the bear came in that night because the camera, we knew. The next day, I think, was a Saturday. It was opening day, but it was also opening day the second week. And that means you can have dogs.
Ruin it
so the
all.
First, as I said, the first, I mean, we weren't there. We're sitting in a stand. We're quiet. We got in. And like maybe an hour into that set, I just heard dogs barking and coming closer and closer and closer. And we didn't really think anything of it, to be honest, that far. We thought it was far away. But then at some point we realized that they treat our bear and shot it. Because we heard a shot, too. And I'm like, could that have been our bear? And we're like, no, we're trying to, you know, we're trying to be like, oh, we got this, you know. No.
Yeah.
They shot our bear. And then Kevin stayed another week, from what I remember. I got there on a Friday, stayed till Monday.
Well, just go hire a guy and go chase down a dog and go shoot it.
Well, the problem with that, too, is, like, the next year, you know, Corey had baits running and all that other stuff, and he had camera going, and the dog hunters brought the dogs to his bait and then ran the dogs from there. Mm-hmm. So he's there working a freaking month.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like,
how they find his bait?
They just
how they know he did, how did he know they
I mean,
did that?
Some of these guys,
you know, because he had trail camera up.
You know, if you're
you
training
the dogs,
you know, if you're training
you see,
the dogs,
the guys say, "Oh, the," you know, he didn't see the guys, but he saw the dogs.
A lot of them are scumbags.
So he's like
a high percentage.
Like,
there's, I mean,
okay,
you can
these
respect
dogs.
Don't hold back,
pile.
Jamie. Don't hold back.
Yeah, Jamie. Go
no,
ahead.
You can respect training the dogs, and a lot of guys do it right, but a lot of them are.
I don't understand. But
they're on my land. That's not, you don't need. You can't be on my land.
There's no kumbaya up there. There's no kumbaya.
First off, the land they were on when they shot Kevin's bear was Kevin's buddy's land. So that
they're the wrong land.
Absolutely. And the third thing
they
is
they blame it because they can't control their dogs. Well,
I listen, guys. If you hunt like this and you tree bears or cougars and you shoot them with a gun, I'm not so sure that's very hard to do. Like, so I don't really know what's so exciting about it. I'm not trying to be mean.
I think it's about training the dogs.
Okay,
mostly.
Fine. You got to the prey.
No problem with guys that do it the right way.
Do you need to shoot it, though? I mean, you get to it.
A lot of them don't shoot it.
If they want the meat, I mean, I can see. I mean, I look at it like.
But it's not sporty. It seems easy.
Well, you know what?
It's about the dogs, I think, more than
that. If you think about it, is running a rabbit with a dog, is getting a pheasant up with a dog. It's more about working the dogs.
Watching your dogs.
But these guys are into working their dogs.
I'd be okay with a rabbit because it's a pest. It's small. It's small game. It's no big deal. A bear, a cougar, are rarities. They're not as many as a rabbit or a squirrel.
Yeah, but that's why they have to put in for the lottery like everybody else. Oh, they don't get to do it every year.
That's fair enough. I will give that. That's fine.
They might only get a tag every 5 years.
Yeah, but I think these guys can hire them once if they get a tag.
That's what happens.
That's the problem. They sit at their trucks on the road.
You know what? Let's go back to Tim. Right, Tim's scientific thing. These amount of bears technically need to be killed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'll recant my talk because you know what? It's a population thing.
That's why I wouldn't take a tag unless it was before the dogs.
I think you have to have personally. You have to have a moral compass when you're hunting too. So there's a scientific side of it, but have to do it right.
But if you go back to what Kevin said, and you go back to the scientific part, you're supposed to kill these animals. Mm-hmm. Does it matter how you kill them? Maybe not. Because if you're going to eat it, I don't know if it really matters.
I think that's the key.
If you're going to eat it.
If you're doing it just to do it, then
I have no problem with guys who hunt bears with dogs. I do have a problem with the way Michigan does it. I think they should separate the two seasons. Mm-hmm. They should have...
Yeah.
The baiting season.
Be like a couple and weeks then and then...
Give a week off or something and then have the dog season. Separate the two. Yeah. Just completely two different...
Yeah, it's not really fair to the hunters.
Because they're dogs. Dogs don't understand property lines and then they're all over the damn place and then it just ruins everything for everybody.
It's weird that you can even do it in Michigan because the lands are so small. I can't imagine people... I can't even imagine how...
Well, that's why you run into so many issues. Hmm. You're not running on 20,000 acres. You're running on 40.
It's almost like a... Owners have to put like a little 1 foot fence up or something to keep the dogs out, right? You know what I mean? All the way around their properties. It's just weird. Anyway, so that's the grizzly delisting is how we started this conversation. And the article I was reading, it's online at Washington Post, but they say about 700 grizzly bears that roam the Yellowstone National Park area will soon lose their protections they have had under the Endangered Species Act for more than 40 years. The internal department announced Thursday, but so basically,
it's a success story.
It is technically a success story.
I mean, people are looking at it and making this negative spin about it. They were on the endangered species for over 40 years, and they're not now. Why can't that should be celebrated?
Well, yeah.
That is the Washington Post, right?
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
It goes on to say the change, which is set to take effect next month, is a sign of the major comeback by the Yellowstone Bears.
CNN has to say.
An icon of the American West. Their numbers were driven to as low as 136 bears before the Yellowstone population and others in the lower 48s were listed in 1975.
Yeah. To me, that's nothing more than a success story. And that's something to celebrate. That's something
I'm surprised, though, that there's only 700 there. That seems like a low number.
That is surprising. But I think what you have to understand is that is an estimate. And
they probably want to keep it around 700.
Well,
they're going to want to keep it low, so no one really knows. Yeah. So.
But isn't 700 seem... I was thinking more like they delist it at like 5,000.
Yeah, but
10,
again, it's not open hunting.
Because
you know what I mean?
A couple of years ago, I think the DNR was saying there was only 600 wolves in the UP.
Yeah. I think one of the things they start looking at is... How much cattle are they losing? Because Yellowstone is obviously not fenced in. So you're talking about the Yellowstone Valley area. There's farms and
well, they look. I mean, they look at a lot. They look at mortality rates for the cubs. You know, they're looking at mortality rates for the cubs. They're looking at the their prey, what their population's like. Right. If they're on the rise, then the bears are going to be on the rise. They're looking at the competitor species like the wolves and all that kind of stuff. So all that takes a factor into how many tags that they're going to give. You know, if they're going to give any.
Right, and like if the grizzly bears get too high, that they're killing off more bison, for example, then the bison herd can starts going down.
So, and they'll increase the number of tags. I think it's a great way to manage it. It's a great way to manage. You manage that top predator species, a lot of the populations underneath of that are going to react to that population at top. So,
it goes on to say, as many as 50,000 grizzly bears once inhabited the lower United States, but centuries of hunting and extermination left the bears on what is now less than 2% of their original territory. Another group of about 1,000 grizzlies live in the northern Idaho and Montana near the Glacier National Park. And a very small number is the northern Cascades in Washington. Those bears remain protected. But that means that they're basically saying 1,700 bears total live in the United States. In the lower. That's not many.
Grizzlies.
Grizzly
they're
bears.
We're not talking black bears.
Or is there... Yeah.
Right.
Or Kodiak, which is on the island, you know, in the or Alaskan bears, right? This is
right.
No
this
Alaskan
This is just
bears.
Lower 48, for sure.
But interesting, 1,000, man. That's 50,000 once roamed.
Yeah, but there was nothing here.
Yeah,
there
you're
was
right.
No cities. No
I mean, think about the. I mean, think about that. Look at the stats on the bison population back there. It was millions.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
There was no. You look at the way back when, I mean, the prairies were nothing
but bison.
Miles and miles and miles.
I remember stories or reading stories in books about how the bison herds would come through, and it would take days to see their whole herd come through.
There's something on the Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And we're talking about places.
I'm not too concerned with the grizzly bear in Yellowstone because one almost killed me when I was there with Tim a long time ago. So for me... I think, whatever, do what you gotta do, if it's all legal. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's interesting, yeah. The wolf thing's killer, too. I don't know how to feel about the wolf thing. I just do feel like it's kind of weird when you live somewhere your whole life, and then all of a sudden this state comes in or government and says, oh, we're dropping these 1,000 wolves off in your area. And you're like, what? And all of a sudden, next thing you know, you're watching out for your kids, and you got these wolves, you know, can mess you up or kill somebody. It's just weird. I don't know.
It is. You're right to say that it's different because they were introduced rather than protected and re-raised, you know, in the environment that they were in there. But they were around before. I mean, they were.
But not in these people's lifetime, is what I'm saying.
No, right. So there's not the history there, and I think that's the change. I think that's the part that's hard to digest. So
I'd be curious how many wolves are in Michigan.
Well, they... Estimated 600 a few years ago, which was way
low.
How are you gonna? You can't see them. They're just trying.
No, I mean it's a lot. It's a lot of statistical guessing. Things. Yeah, I mean they.
Well, they grid probably in how many.
Well, they do. I mean, there's definitely methods to their madness, but it is. They call it an estimate for a reason. Usually, it's within a certain statistic into how up or down they might be off, but. Yeah, I mean, they could be off quite a bit, potentially.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, do you think there's any way, like, I could go up to a wolf and pet it and be like, give it a dog bone and be like, hey, Poochie.
I'm willing to try it.
No, I think you can. Huh? What do you think?
I think you could do it.
Yeah.
We should do it.
I've seen those videos online.
Should we have Cedar do it?
Yeah. Pig right up.
He's got the guts to do it. Cedar, take this dog
bone. No, you know who would do it? Reslo.
Well, Rezzo for sure do it. He'd punch in the face. He got feisty with him. He'd be like, you're done, son.
He'd do it in the Yeti.
He'd jump on
Yeti
his
outfit.
Back, dude. He'd jump on his back. What do you think he would do if we ran up on a with Yeds, we ran up on him on a wolf?
I wouldn't because I would be scared.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Need some armor plating, chainmail.
I was like, that's a wolf. He'd be like, and then all of a sudden, 10 of them come out. They're like, I will say this. I have never seen a wolf hunting, but I have seen packs of coyotes go through, and that was kind of creepy, to be honest. I mean, yapping and, within...
They do sound creepy at night.
Oh, they sound so scary. Mm-hmm. They came in late one time. It was like,
wah, wah, you ever see that YouTube video of the guy that's sitting in the middle of the woods and throws out a coyote call, and they just, like, surround him?
Oh, no. I see the one where they kept coming, over and over.
You might
that's great. They surrounded me when I got my first deer. We had it dead out in the... You know, we were tracking it. and they're all, you could see their eyes and stuff with the flashlights, and they're surrounding us almost in the state land, but there was like eight of us, so we weren't really scared, you know, but everybody's like, we gotta get this thing out of here, so we grabbed it, we didn't even gut it there, just drug it out, me and Brian and Ron, and like, we just like ran, like through the woods with this deer, like three of us, they were gonna eat it, I mean, they were coming in on it, you know, anyway, all right, well, hey, that was a fun podcast, check us out online. Make sure you go to bowhunterplanet.com. See what's going down. We have a ton of great stuff. And if you haven't got a chance to listen to all the previous podcasts, make sure you do so. You're going to love it. Tyler Jordan, Eva Shockey, and Jim Shockey, and a whole bunch of other great people we recently just did. So, hey, thanks a lot. We'll see you later.
Thanks so much for listening to the Bowhunter Planet podcast online at bowhunterplanet.com with your host, Team BHP. Check us out on Facebook at Bowhunter Planet. We'll catch you next time.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.